Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It is another edition of Phillies Today. I'm your host, James Seltzer. It is Thursday, August the 13th. As we come off yet another disappointing showing from your Philadelphia Phillies last night, as they have officially lost their one series against the Baltimore Orioles this season. You only got one shot at them, and they blew it, basically. I mean, obviously, one more game today against the O's, but the series is lost, and a really disappointing loss last night, 5-4. A loss where things just didn't seem to go their way. It wasn't a debacle like the night before, though. Adam Morgan, we'll get to him. But things just didn't bounce their way. I mean, we'll dive into it. But Zach Eflin, I thought actually pitched really well, but it was a cheap homer, a couple of, little flutter fly balls into the outfield that just found a spot. Andrew McCutchen, a rough inning. It was just a bummer of a loss, and the Phillies weren't able to come back in the end. And it was a shame because we've talked a lot about how incredibly important it is to win these types of games against teams that you're flat out better than, at least from a talent perspective. In such a short season, I mean, they're 5-8 now. That's less than ideal. And, it's, again, they're 13 games into a 60-game season. I mean, they've got 47 games left. It's like, in a normal season, you know, we're in the middle of August. But we are in the middle of August, but we've only got till the end of September. It's, there isn't much urgency from this team, it feels like, and it feels like, obviously, you know, losing that first game of the series is the one that we'll remember, is the one that haunts us, and I'm sure will haunt them. But last night wasn't a great loss either. You know, there were opportunities, and again, I think, you know, things just didn't really bounce their way. Ultimately, they lose 5-4, falling to 5-8. On the season. The Orioles are 9-7. How about that? Baseball's weird, you know. But ultimately, the Orioles outplayed the Phillies. Offensively, the Phillies still getting contributions from really just the middle of the order, and then Harper and Romito, and then the ancillary guys. You know, again, it was and Didi's been solid, but like Andrew Knapp had a night. We'll go through it. Ultimately, starting with Eflin, I think Eflin pitched really, really well. 6 innings, 7 hits, 4 earned, 10 strikeouts, a career high with only one walk. And look, he looked good. I mean, obviously with the 10 strikeouts, he was throwing swing and miss stuff. And a few of those hits, a few of those runs, again, came on kind of squib hits to the outfield that found a spot. Ultimately, I think, look, you know, Andrew McCutchen doesn't look completely healthy. He just doesn't, or he doesn't trust the knee the way he has to, but he's clearly either laboring or limping a little bit out there or something. He doesn't have that fluidity to his motion that he had before the injury, and I think it's pretty apparent. I think it's clear. Yeah, and that's obviously a concern, you know. And look, it is a major injury for someone at 31 at the time or whatever, I believe, 32 now. I mean, that's a major injury, a torn ACL, especially for a baseball player. It's not like a, you know, these football players, it seems like they're torn ACLs every year and everyone's back quicker and quicker. But, you know, Andrew McCutchen's 31 years old, and you know, you just don't heal as quickly when you get older too. You know, it's just part of it. And again, look, the good thing on McCutchen is it seems like the bat's been waking up more. Another couple hits last night, a walk. It seems like he's been much more comfortable at the plate. So if you're looking for somewhat of a silver lining, I mean, he's still batting 188 with a 256 OBP and a 211 slugging, so let's not get too carried away. But ultimately, he just looks like he's kind of not quite back yet physically, certainly in the outfield, and obviously that's a concern. Ultimately, Eflin, again, the way the scoring plays out, the Phillies get out to an early lead on a Andrew Knapp double in the second inning, and Knappy had a good night. However, after that Knapp double to score Gregorius in the second, the Orioles tie it in the third on a Anthony Santander home run, and it was about the cheapest home run you'll ever see. They reviewed it. It was 333 right down the right field line, as short as you get in a home run at Citizens Bank Park, and it right off the pole, essentially. And it was a bummer. 1-1 then, and look, the Phillies took the lead again. JT Romito singles home a run in the third, and then Didi Gregorius a sac fly to score another. It's 3-1 Phillies as Harper scores a run. Harper on base a few times again last night. But then in the fourth, this is where it kind of just got wacky for Eflin, as Eflin ends up giving up two runs there again on a couple, you know, singles that were and double on the one that McCutchen was kind of just caught sleeping, but they were to shallow left field, and McCutchen just unable to get there. And look, I don't think I'm not saying every left fielder could have gotten there, but I think certainly the second one was more catchable. And regardless, McCutchen didn't get there quick, and one turned into a double because he was kind of not paying attention to the runner going to second, which was a rare gaffe for McCutchen. Ultimately, they scored two runs that inning, and then in the fifth, the one thing you can really kind of, if you want to put it on Eflin, there was a cheap home run, and then the Rio Ruiz home run was a more solid shot for sure, and that made it 4-3, which, again, was a shame for Eflin, because Eflin pitched really well. He deserved better, a better fate, and ultimately was unable to get it, but he leaves after that, pitched one more inning, got through the sixth, and then, of course, Adam Morgan comes in and gives up, luckily, only one run as Blake Parker came in, was able to get out of the inning, but pitches two-thirds of an inning, gets three hits, and allows one run. Morgan just looked very hittable, and again, that's been part of what's been so frustrating with this bullpen, and what is really, again, just a disastrous unit for a team that is ultimately what is accounted in a fair portion, really, of their 5-8 record, and again, I think it's something you're not going to be able to win with ultimately in the long run, so to speak, or over the course of the season. So, which is frustrating. But look, Adam Morgan, it's especially frustrating when it's Adam Morgan and Tommy Hunter who are getting shelled like the last couple nights, because those are the guys who, and I use this loosely, you're supposed to be able to count on at least to a certain point, and clearly you can. Adam Morgan's had a bad year. And, you know, Adam Morgan used to be the worst back when he was a starter, and we were not an Adam Morgan fan. And then we liked Adam Morgan again, and now it's starting to be rough again with the Adam Morgan experience. Ultimately, Blake Parker comes in and gets an out, and then goes another inning. Blake Parker actually looked pretty good. The guy they just brought up, hey, he's getting out. Whoever, whatever gets out. And then Ramon Rosso comes in the top of the ninth to keep it a one-run game after the Phillies steal one in the eighth. Not really steal one. They had a chance to get more. Andrew Knapp again, an RBI single, scored Segura, and they had two on one out, and ultimately Roman Quinn couldn't get the job done. But then two on one out, and ground out. Rio Ruiz, the shortstop for the Orioles, makes just an unbelievable play. Just an unbelievable, truly an unbelievable play. Diving play and basically rolls the ball on the ground to get Knapp at second on the force out. And ended a threat. And the Phillies desperately needed that. They desperately needed it. And they weren't able to get it there. Rosso came in and started out the ninth a little iffy with five straight balls, essentially. But then ultimately settled down and looked good. And, you know, at least you see Rosso, a guy like Rosso pitching. He has some stuff. That he has some talent that, you know, it's not the type of thing like Austin Davis or Deolis Guerra or whoever, where you watch him pitch and there's nothing special about them in any way, shape, or form. There's no, you don't watch their stuff and say, wow, I can't believe people are hitting it. You're like, yeah, they should hit it. With Rosso, at least, you know, at least you could see that there's talent in that arm. But ultimately, again, it's just there's not enough talent in this bullpen. And ultimately, the Phillies are unable to get done in the bottom of the ninth. Again, Bryce Harper continues to just be awesome as Harper. Another 2-for-4, scores a run. He wasn't able to get it done in the ninth, but, I mean, he's got a 491 OBP right now, so it's hard to rip Harper. Batting 341. Harper's been great, but you know who's not been great is one Rhys Hoskins. Hoskins, last night, became the first Philly since 2010, Placido Blanco, to ground into 3 double plays in one game. Hoskins is completely lost, just like Kingery, and to Girardi's credit, he played Gosselin at second base. He made some nice plays defensively, which was unexpected, but ultimately, Hoskins is a mess right now. And I don't know what the answer is, but if you ask me, do I want Neil Walker in the lineup at first base or Rhys Hoskins? Right now, I would say Neil Walker, and that's crazy. And also, for sure, if Rhys Hoskins is going to be in the lineup, he can't be batting second. This is he can't do it anymore. He has to be moved down the line. He has to. Has to. I mean, he's killing them. He's killing them in that 2-0 night, whether it's Haseley, Gosselin, people who are hitting, put them in the 2-0. People who have been getting on base, put them in the 2-0. Even look and even someone like Segura, who hasn't been good offensively, he's been better than Hoskins, but I wouldn't put Segura in the 2-0, even though he's had success there in the past, but he's struggling too. That's, you know, look, it's not like I'm saying there's a lot of options. What I really think they should be doing, and I don't know if they ever have, and I know he's done some at some point, but they should be putting a first baseman's mitt on Alec Bohm and saying, hey, buddy, figure this out right now. Because Alec Bohm should be playing first base. Honestly, that's what should happen. That's what should happen. I mean, Rhys Hoskins is a offensive 0 right now. I know he's getting walks, so maybe he's an offensive 1 on a scale of 1 to 10. Hey, he's useless. He can't be hitting second. And again, that goes back to the whole, intensity of Joe Girardi for the season. It doesn't feel like he's managing like it's a 60-game season. Look, sitting Kingery last night was a start. That was good, but Girardi needs to do something to shake things up. He needs to be a little bit more forceful. And also, I mean, look, we could get into the bullpen decisions, and I think, look, a large portion of that blame falls on the front office, on the belief that they could go into this season with this group of guys and that there was any chance it would be successful. We all knew it going into the season. We talked about it. We're like, well, you know, the bullpen's gonna be the issue, and it granted, it's been the issue to a historic level, literally, but you know, it wasn't something that you couldn't see coming, and they deserve blame for that. But at the same time, some of the decisions Girardi's made has been strange too. Like Rosso, why not? I mean, I would much rather see Ramon Rosso come to a game than Deolis Guerra. And I mean, I'm good on Deolis Guerra. I'm good on Austin Davis. Austin Davis wore me up in the pen last night. It gets me sick to my stomach. It's like, no, Don't bring in Austin Davis, please. Nobody needs that. You know, there are just too many guys on this team like that. And look, Blake Parker comes up, gets out. So let's see what Connor Brogdon has. You know, show us, again, put anyone in there who is not what we've seen so far, because these guys aren't getting outs. And again, I feel for Girardi when Adam Morgan and Tommy Hunter don't get outs, because, again, like, he has been put in a position where he doesn't have a choice but to trust those guys, you know. So, I mean, Hector Neris, and again, obviously Neris did not have a great night the other night. But Hector Neris, Jose Alvarez, you can't have no one you try. Like, you can't have no one you can put in, and but that's what they have. It's just a mess. It's such a frustrating mess. And, you know, so I think there needs to be more urgency with the managing, again, and the decisions, because Reese Hoskins can't play anymore. I'm sorry. Like, he just can't. I love the guy too. I thought he was going to be great. I can't explain it. Again, this isn't like Dom Brown. Well, you know, look, Dom Brown was also a top prospect, you know, very high ranked prospect, but Dom Brown had like one good month in the majors and, you know, a good year for all intents and purposes. Whereas Hoskins like hit at every level of the minor leagues and then had pretty much a year and a half or more where he was really good. You know, obviously those first 34 games where he had 18 homers the first 30 games, but that first 50-game season, he was really good. And then a full season where he's really good, and then another half a season where he was really good. And then it's like overnight. It's mystifying. It really is mystifying. And now it seems that it's absolutely something that's in his head. I mean, he was showing frustration after that second double play ground out. He just slammed his helmet, and it's not great. It's not great. I've certainly lost a lot of the faith that I had that Reese Hoskins was going to get through this. You know, I am nervous. And that's not great, because Hoskins was supposed to be a cornerstone of this team. He was supposed to be someone you could pencil in as your cleanup hitter. You know, he had 36 home runs a couple years ago. It's just crazy. And you hope that he could figure it out. But the problem is, and that's where you run into these conundrums, that. You know, you need Hoskins or Kingery to try and work through these things and figure it out, but you don't have the games to do that. You got 60. Now you got 47 if you play them all. It's just, it's a bad spot. Anyway, Phillies go back at the Orioles again tonight. Who knows what happened? They'll probably lose. It's a bummer. Maybe they win one just to, you know, take one from the Orioles. Wouldn't that be nice? A game from the Orioles? Quickly, before we look ahead to the next game and to what's coming up this weekend, just a quick mention. We haven't really talked about it much on the show, but it is pretty wild, the situation that's been happening with the St. Louis Cardinals, as they have not played a game since July 29th. That's insane. They've played five games, the Cardinals, and we were all freaking out when the Phillies missed a week. Look, even the Marlins are back and playing baseball and playing better than the Phillies with a taxi squad, which is an indictment. But that's a separate discussion. But the Cardinals situation is really wild, and I don't know how many games they're going to play. It could be less than if they were to start on Friday, which is what the hope is. And I think the last round of tests they had was clean, which is good. But they kept getting positive tests and positive tests further and further down the line than the Marlins did, obviously. And again, they've played five games. Think about that. The Phillies are 5-8. The Phillies have played eight more games, and the Phillies took a week off. And this has been a much longer hiatus for this team than the Marlins was. And it's really wild, too, because when the Marlins thing happened, I thought that if it were, and I think I said on the show that if it were the Yankees, that it would be a much bigger deal, and that maybe there'd be a bigger discussion about should we pause the season or whatever. Because it felt, remember, as it was happening, we didn't know what was going to happen. We felt like there was the chance it was going to pause the season. It felt like a real option at that point. And I thought that if it was the Yankees, maybe that would have been a bigger reality. But the Cardinals are a marquee franchise. They're not the Marlins. You know, they're baseball town. They're the quote-unquote greatest fans and all that stuff. They've, you know, they're one of the legitimate franchises in the sport, and or, you know, notable franchise in the sport, I should say. And again, it just shows that baseball is plowing forward through these situations. Baseball is saying, we are playing our season, we're getting to the playoffs, we're gonna make this happen. But it is crazy, and I feel for Cardinals fans, because I think we all remember how crappy it felt to go that full week after getting the tease of baseball being back after such a long hiatus from sports, and baseball was finally back and our Phillies were out there playing. And even though they lost 2-3 to the Marlins, and now 2-3 to the Orioles. Come on, boys. They lost 2-3 to the Marlins. It was like, you know what though? Baseball's back. This is great. And then all of a sudden it's no baseball for a week. And it was the worst. We all remember it. It really sucked the air out of everything, you know, out of the whole excitement of baseball being back. And now, you know, that's what the Cardinals have times a bunch. The Cardinals played two more games than the Phillies did at that point. The Phillies, of course, had three games after that first weekend. Cardinals played two more games. Now they haven't played since. It's a tough beat. And then, of course, when they come back, they'll have the same Marlins type issues where they'll have to play with a lot of taxi squad type players or whatever, at least you would think. But it's pretty crazy. And it is something that, again, I think baseball is, kind of just making this up as they go along. You know, the Phillies schedule has changed a ton over the last, couple weeks as things have changed for different teams, as different teams have had games postponed. I mean, think about that. Like, that's just, like, if the Cardinals haven't played since July 29th, all the reverberations of the Cardinals not playing, where obviously there's going to have to be a team that doesn't play at some point, but who they were going to play, then that affects who they were going to play next, and a different team and all that. And it's trying to, redo the whole schedule for a lot of those other teams. And granted, only Central for Central and all that type of stuff. But, and then obviously all the cancellations we have with the Marlins and the Phillies and the Orioles and the Yankees and the Nationals and all that stuff then. And trying to get everyone to play 50 games. It's just it's a weird schedule now. It's a mishmash. So we're gonna see if we can keep up as we go along. What I do know is that the Phillies play the Orioles one more time tonight, and I am not looking forward to it because it feels like the Orioles, for some reason, just have our number, just like the Marlins. They're the new Marlins. They're the AL Marlins. That's great. 4 o'clock today, so an earlier start time, which is nice, as the Phillies, Arrieta against Thomas Eshelman, the former Philly farm player, of course, who soft toss and lefty, shut the Phillies down in that summer camp game. But we'll see. Hopefully the Phillies can get to him. Hopefully Arrieta can be what he's been. They need Arrieta to be the stopper today. So hopefully he can do it. Then after that, this weekend, we'll talk more about it tomorrow. But facing the Mets, and they get, of course, Jacob deGrom, so they don't miss him. So it's just great. It's great. And then the Phillies actually have an off day on Monday, which will be really nice, as they have been playing a lot of baseball straight. And then guess what? There's a ton more straight. So it's going to be a lot of Phillies baseball without many off days. I'm sure they'll need that Monday off day. But they need to start winning games. That's the most important thing. They are coming up woefully small right now. Again, losing 2-3 of the Marlins, losing 2-3 of the Orioles when you only have 60 games is tough. that's the kind of stuff you can't do. They need to turn around quick. So we'll see. I said losing 2-3 of the Orioles. They could lose all three. So win tonight. That's a big one. Or today, I should say, this afternoon. So big one. So get it done. They better. Either way. I'll be back to talk about it tomorrow. Hopefully it won't be as frustrating and depressing as the last couple days. Regardless, like I said, I'll be back tomorrow. So until then, thank you for listening. Stay safe, stay healthy, and again, thank you for listening to another edition of Phillies Today right here on the Phillies 24/7 Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.